Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 12, Nashville, Tennessee. I'm sorry, Season 16, Episode 12, Nashville, Tennessee. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and please leave a review. See, that was the whiskey. That's you the got, Woodford Reserve.
You got some people excited just now. You said season 12. They're doing it. It's on Netflix now. He finally gave in. He met Chris, interviewed him, and is like, you know what? I'm going to go back and watch the whole season now.
Nope. Not going to do that whatsoever. Just a little bit of a whiskey slip. Uh-huh. My bad. My bad.
Oh, well, let's start with the whiskey stories.
It's the dark liquor. Dark liquor.
Yo, you know, this, as we're here into the into episode 12, right? And what are they doing? I think they said it's what, 20, is it 20 or 24 that they're doing this time around? It's a lot more, right? Yeah.
I don't know.
It's more episodes this season than what they were doing before, because we're going to go a little further. And that's why they're probably cutting it down just to the 90 minutes anyway, just to give us a couple more. How you feeling about the season so far, though? Because we're 12 up. This is episode 12. Before we dive into the episode, you're 11 episodes in. You sit down to watch today's. How you feeling?
I'm still not a fan of every Wednesday night doing this, but I'm doing this for the people, mm-hmm. doing this for the subscribers. When I think about the actual show, I think what I've gotten out of this is that they need to have therapists available on site, because so many of these people have all these issues from so long ago that they've never dealt with. And then you go marry a stranger and now you're trying to figure it out. I think the experts and some more therapists need to be more involved in the show on a regular basis than what they're doing now.
Funny you should say that, because back to season 12, and I'll sit down with a certain gentleman from that season, to which some people will say, gentlemen, you sat down with Chris. he said therapists are what we needed, and they need to be on call all the time, or at least readily, because they're not there enough.
Right. And to me, I think I'm seeing that more. Once he said that when we interviewed him, and now that I watch this, I'm like, he has a really good point.
Yeah. You know, the thing about this is I think we clowned San Diego because everybody worked on themselves and then they came to the show. And then you realize, nah, but they were like, you know what? That's not going to work for us. We need everybody who hasn't worked on themselves. And here we have season 16. It's like Deborah says, therapy should be mandatory before going on the show. Good point. Dallas says, therapists used to be involved every step, even on honeymoons. You know what? You're right. In the early seasons, it was very different back then, right? Very different. They weren't. And it's almost like they said, you know what? The therapists want too much money. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have the couples work on each other. And this season, we're going to have Nicole be the in-house therapist, like she did at the group dinner last week. And that's what it's looking at right now, right?
it really does. I don't know if there was budget cuts and that's why the therapist kind of backed out. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these people truly need it. And I'm hoping that the people that are true followers of these reality shows, that's something they get out of this, is that, hey, before I start getting in relationships with anybody, maybe I should do a little bit of work on myself beforehand, instead of bringing all my previous stuff into this relationship and expecting him to deal with me at my worst so he can love me at my best.
Or a certain person that you and I both know has said, why don't you just sit down for a minute? Just sit down for a minute and just get to know yourself for a little bit. Kitty says, you know, they need to have a therapist for me if they plan on being this mind-numbing. Yeah, I feel you. And Dallas Boss says, I hope you're all ready to clown. Dry eye Eris. Well, we're going to get to Eris and Jasmine. We definitely got to get to him. And we're going to get to Shaquille and Kirsten. We're going to get to Clint and Gina. But we're going to kick things off this week with probably the one couple that we all agree is probably going to make it, Chris and Nicole, and their goat yoga with father-in-law or Nicole's dad, Mark. You know, the OG.
The OG.
The OG with the BDE.
So I really thought that was a great idea on Nicole's part. Mm-hmm. To get her dad to come spend more time with Chris so he can get his buy-in, because the dad's been skeptical, but right. He just needs to spend a little bit more time with him, get a chance to really see it. I think family yoga is dope. Goat yoga, if you want to do that, great. But I thought it was good for all of them to be able to connect, and I think it had to feel really good for Chris for the dad to say, hey, you can call me dad.
Right.
That you've earned my respect, that now you can call me dad. I think that had to be huge for Chris.
Was it because he's like, all right, you made it this far, you stuck around this long with her, Jesus, all right, you can call me dad.
I've talked to her less, I've dealt with less of her bullshit over this last month, so
you even came to this bullshit goat yoga.
I haven't said pineapples I haven't said pineapples in months since you came around, so I appreciate it.
Now I can get back to throwing this BDE all around Florida since I don't have to deal with her shit.
You're not going to let the dad get over
I am not. That, all right. I am not. Especially somebody trying to call me and say last week that I was age shaming him because he didn't know, because he knew what BDE was. Like, he shouldn't know. That was not what I was trying to say, because we know Italians have that, bring that swag too. They just probably call it something else.
Okay.
All right. So Chris's insecurities and being vulnerable. It seems like these two, we've been saying for a long time that they seem to be, you know, a perfect match for each other, in the sense of they both have their own insecurities. They both seem to be, you know, shoring up each other's insecurities. Is that what you, because that's what I kind of got out of this episode with these two.
Well, that's what I felt like they were doing, was trauma bonding. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, you went through this, I went through this. Oh, we are so much in common. Let's connect. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting to me. And I think this is what's, from a guy's perspective, you know, when you meet a woman and you hear about some of the stuff that they've been through, sometimes I'm just like, holy shit, how'd you deal with that? Mm. Why did you put up with that? And it's so easy on the outside looking in to say that, but for Nicole to have been in these bad, toxic relationships for 15 years,
yeah,
it has to be hard to come across somebody like a Chris, who is the polar opposite of everything you've been dealing with.
Yes.
For 15 years, you know?
You know, it's like a Sinan's fan says, two hurt people forging on, they should make it, right? So, and that's what I'm thinking. I think that they, and we've said this for a long time, even though you've got High Vibe, who says that Nicole and Chris fake working out and having deep conversations, eye roll emoji. So High Vibe is not buying this. She's not buying it at all. You and I are like, yeah, this looks good, you know, and she's like, nah, mm-mm.
No, High Vibe wanted to see them. I need y'all to do some burpees, some push-ups. I want to see some real sweat and talk about your problems. Then I'll believe it.
Now, Mike over here is saying, Chris seems shady to me. I'm still concerned with him wanting to keep his apartment for 9 extra months. Same thing. I give you that. That's the one thing that still stands out and goes, you know what? Is he really in this because of that?
Well, keep in mind, he said that 2-3 weeks in. Mm-hmm. As we see in the preview, he drops the L word. Mm-hmm. So maybe the closer he feels with her, that connection, by the time they get to decision day, he won't need 9 months in their own living space.
And, you know, I'm sorry, but Precious Me is not feeling that. She says, I'm kind of waiting for them to unravel. Something seems off with them.
Come on, Precious. What about love? Love is all you need.
Apparently, love don't live here no more. Now, as we move on to Aris and Jasmine, I'm going to tell you this real quick, just because I can. Bring your camera up just a little bit before. We don't want to see that you're not wearing pants today.
It wouldn't be the first time you saw that.
Yes, it will. Stop that. Aris and Jasmine. Now, start no rumors on this podcast here this week.
We go back since college. You've seen some things.
Was Aris even there when Jasmine was talking? When they sit down first and they sit down with Dr. Pepper and she's telling her piece. Was he there, or was he just totally spaced out? Like, well, okay, my bad. That's normal, Aris.
He's always spaced out. He's thinking about that good, good he got 2 weeks before he said, I do. I think he's focused on that. So with Dr. Pepper being there, I was curious to see what this conversation was going to be. And for Jasmine, I think she kind of danced around it, but I think the core of the truth came out is that her self-esteem took a huge hit when he said he wasn't feeling her and attracted to her. And we all joke, you know, making fun of reality shows, making fun of the show. I totally get it. But I think that's the real thing is that, you know, she felt strong about herself and everything in her life was good until she comes across a man that she really wants.
Yes.
And he tells her, I'm not attracted to you. Mm-hmm. And this is the guy who sleeps with everybody and anything. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, he won't touch her. That has to feel bad.
It was really sad to hear her say that she felt like she was in the marriage by herself. I felt so bad for her in that moment. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, well, she is, because there's really nothing that she can do to make Eris feel the way that she wants him to feel about her. He's just not into her whatsoever. But it's for her self-esteem to take that hit and think to herself, okay, look at all these things I've done. I'm a pageant queen. I've done a lot. I'm attractive. I have my own thing going. I take care of these dogs. I do this and that. Why doesn't this man who will sleep with anybody not even want to touch me?
Yeah.
You know?
You know, Ashley B has a great point. She says, I'm disappointed in Dr. Pepper giving him an out instead of giving her understanding. And it did kind of feel like Dr. Pepper was like, okay, and giving him, just taking him at his word, rather than really, you know, holding him accountable. I felt Dr. Pepper was really weak in this episode overall. She really was.
Well, I would agree, because when he started talking about all the different death in his family and friends and things like that, which are very true, hard things to deal with. All those things didn't stop you from having orgies.
Right.
And all that stuff. So you're telling me that everything that you've dealt with and all this wildlife you like to brag about, the deaths and everything is the reason you won't touch Jasmine.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense. Right. And again, we've talked about it before, and I think somebody commented last week, there's a reason that he won't touch her, but he won't say what it is. And he's saying he's looking for common ground, common interests. I'm like, so you found all these common interests in orgy hookups? You can't tell me before the orgy you had in-depth conversations with people and then was like, you know what? I can do you and you. You know. And sir, you can get in here too. I don't mind. You know, I just don't buy it.
No, at all. And because of all of this, it's like Nubian Mahogany says, Jasmine has now checked out. And I see that a lot here in the chat. You know, Chocolate Sooner says, Eris was checked out, and now he's trying to be vulnerable, and Jasmine is checked out. Here's the thing. I don't know that he's really being vulnerable. Do you think he's being vulnerable? I mean, they sat down, they did the questions in the place, and it's like she's not answering any of them because, again, she's checked out. But he didn't answer the questions she didn't answer. So how is that being vulnerable?
Well, to Eris's defense, and it's rare I do this.
Okay, attorney just tell.
So I'm watching this, and I'm noticing that she has nothing. Mm-hmm. She wants to have these deep conversations, but she has nothing to contribute to the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I made a note. I'm like, well, how? Eris didn't say anything either. But I'm wondering, is this one of those things where the producers edit it out? Mm-hmm. If Eris said anything to make us feel this way,
right,
that he's asking questions, she's not answering any. So he just puts the question back to the side and just moves on. I don't know. But I mean, that was a really boring exercise. Now, I agree with Eris in the sense that Jasmine had nothing, like no meat to any of that conversation around those questions.
Yeah.
So I just don't get that.
Very true. I mean, but when you're checked out, if you've been there trying all this time and you check out, you check out. And again, we know there are a couple people in these couples that have checked out, or seemingly so. This is the worst of it right now, right? As you see, and Jasmine, she's over it. she's done. And you see so much in the comments, people saying that it's the other part of it, though. Her mom came and met with Eris. And to me, I thought that he lied to her. And he just sat there and like, you know, and if she says, well, what's your favorite color? Well, I go in depth. Well, blue. And it's because of this. We heard him say nothing like that ever in his life, not going in depth about anything. Yet he sat there and lied in that woman's face.
I thought he was going to say, well, blue, because when they did the first orgy, the sheets were blue sheets. And I just always go back to that night. Every time I see blue, I think about those sheets. It was a wild time, Jasmine, let me tell you. Yeah.
And by the time it was over, it looked like there was clouds in the sky.
So I can't say he lied. I think he might have exaggerated the truth a bit. But he was honest in the fact that Jasmine doesn't open up and share much. And the mom was like, yes, she does that. But then the mom also was like, how come you don't want to sleep with my baby?
Is it me you want? Why won't you sleep with my baby? Yo, I thought that was a bold question. But the mom to come out and be like, so Jasmine told me that y'all ain't having sex. Y'all ain't bumping pelvises. What's going on here?
I don't know what I would do if someone's mom was like, so me and my daughter were talking. She told me about y'all's conversation. Terrell, you're not bringing it. What's wrong?
Now, depending on how the mom looked, would you go, well, would you show me what you taught her?
That's crossing into that Pornhub category. Yes.
I'm sorry. I was watching Money Shot on Netflix just to see what this thing was about. That's probably where that storyline came from. I'm not sure.
I watched that, by the way. I did watch that, by the way.
I know you did. I'm sure you did. High Five says, I wasn't feeling Jasmine's mom's advice. Did Jasmine tell her everything about Eris? And that's a great question. Did she? Well, she told her they weren't having sex, at least.
So if she said that, I'm sure she told her pretty much everything else. I don't think you got to hold anything back and just throw out there, yeah, we're not having sex. Mm-hmm. And he's not attracted to me. So I don't know what the intent was in having Jasmine's mom come talk to Eris, mm-hmm. honestly. To me, I'm like, y'all should get Eris's mom to come to the house and talk to Eris. Because at first when she walked in, I was like, oh, Eris's mom. Let's see what happens here. And they said it was Jasmine's mom. I'm like, well, what's going to come from that?
Exactly. It's almost like they tried to paint Jasmine in the bad light this episode as the one that's not trying. But we all, and we can see this in the chat, that we all can see that it's not that she's not involved. She's just checked out at this point. Dallas Boss 88 says, Eris wants to go deeper but can't look her in her eyes, huh? Good point. And then no channel says, I hate seeing Jasmine's spirit being broken. We're real time seeing how quick relationships damage people. And that's what we're talking about here, right? And the fact, like, she's just checked out for a reason, because he has emotionally abused her through this doggone process so far.
Well, and I think this is a pure example. And let's take relationships out of the equation. Words matter. And sometimes it's better not to say anything to somebody, because somebody, I mean, imagine you're just out in the street and you're having a good day. You're going to Whole Foods getting some lunch and somebody's like, are you Yanni Rude? You ugly as shit. Now, because your self-esteem is above average, it's not going to bother you. But for some, what if that was you're dealing with a lot of stuff and I'm just trying to get through the day. And then someone does that and just totally takes you down. And I think that everything Eris has said, not only to her privately, mm-hmm. but also publicly with the group, has just totally worn her down, that there's no recovering from that.
Right.
And so it's just a sign to say, just watch what you say to people. It's not necessary. And that's why he can't say, I'm not attracted to you because of A, B, C, and D, because that's going to make it worse. So he's kind of in a catch 22.
Okay. To be fair, you're right in that sense. There's certain things he can't say.
Well, say that again.
What was it again? I can't remember.
You said you're right, and I just want to hear the you're right part, because that's rare that we get this.
Okay, I'll put it this way. Just in the words of Rhonda, Eris is full of shit, and so is Carol. Let's just get that right. How about that?
Fine. That's all right. It's on YouTube Live. I can just go back and look at this and just rewind, play.
There you go.
Rewind, play.
You stay right there, that 20-minute mark, and just repeat it. Put in the
loop. I will. I will. That's going to be my ringtone whenever you call me. Terrell, you're right. Terrell, you're right. And I'm not going to answer for three rings because I just want to hear it.
Yes, and you're not accustomed to hearing that you're right. That's exactly what happens.
Exactly.
You know, as we get to Clint, Gina, and Hank, because apparently Hank is part of this relationship, he's all up in the bed, right? And now, Thruple. I'm sorry, shedless dog or not, get your ass off my bed as don't fart in my face.
Dog didn't do it on purpose. It just happened.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Okay, maybe the dog meant to fart in Gina's face and let it go. Because one of the things I thought was funny is the fact, like, and I'm skipping forward a little bit here, but when Dr. Pepper was talking about, was sitting with them, and they talked about Hank being in the room, and that's the only reason Gina goes in the room, because Hank is in the room with Clint. And I'm like, of course he's got a, Hank is over there. And of course Clint is showing some affection to Hank, because that's the only one showing him any attention or any real affection anyway. He's got a stronger relationship with the dog than with the owner.
Yeah, because he's not going to get any loving from Gina, because she's just not feeling it whatsoever. You know, when... a couple of episodes ago when they were like, you know, let's just forget about the honeymoon. Mm-hmm. Let's just have fun with each other, mm-hmm. which is okay strategy. But I like how Dr. Pepper told them we need to focus on more than just having fun.
Right.
And let's get real. But Gina is one of those people that we've been talking about when it comes to therapy. Like, you're in your mid-30s and the divorce that happened when you were 7 still bothers you. You really need to get some therapy and talk to somebody about that before you get in relationships. I get how she feels she can't be vulnerable with men and all that. She's a independent woman, and I'm not knocking any of that. Mm-hmm. But if every reason you go into that on this show, every reason for her not connecting with Clint is because of her parents' divorce, I call bullshit.
Oh, yeah. You know, well, you know, I grew up with a single mom, and, you know, so therefore I can talk to women. But these guys... especially this one right here, who said I was fat.
Exactly.
and I'm glad that came back up today, because first of all, he didn't call her that, but you know, she kept going back to that comment. And we've known this. And here's the problem I have with Gina today. She is constantly talking about the things that he did and that he, you know, where the hurt is. And she throws the blame at him. Even with the comment, well, you know, we just don't go deep because, you know, last time we went deep, you know, certain things were said, completely ignoring the fact that she made multiple comments about him and something he can't change, and mm-hmm. calling him out of his name, calling him the G word.
The N word for redheads?
Yes.
Is that what it is? Because I do. I did look in a history book back when they enslaved all those redheads to come here to America and help build it.
No.
It's the same.
They were just, you know, workers in the new Texas textbooks.
Maybe gender is what the slaves rode on to get to America. And so there's just some of that. But... yes, I knew that was going to come up, and she didn't specifically say the weight thing, but I think we all knew what she was talking about.
Of course.
But she lied, because she's saying that when Dr. Pepper is talking about how do you become open, become vulnerable, and she's saying, well, I want him to ask me stuff or whatever.
Liar.
He's been doing that
from
the beginning. He's been saying, I want to know more about you. I want to know the crust of you. So he's been asking it. And I agree with Clint that, okay, now it sounds like an interview. Mm-hmm. If I have to go through interview questions to get you to be vulnerable and open, who wants to do that?
Exactly. You know, like folks are saying here, Clint and Hank make a handsome ginger couple. like Precious B says here, Clint came for a wife and is leaving with a new dog and a girlfriend. No, not girlfriend, just a girl. Who happens to be a friend, because she can drop the dog off every so often. That's what he's leaving with. Because I don't think he's even leaving with a girlfriend. Right now, he doesn't even have a girlfriend. And L. Ramey says, Hank loves Clint. He can tell he's a good guy. Now, there's some people in this chat that are probably going to disagree with you on that, L. Ramey, because a lot of people are still giving Hank a lot of shit over the last couple of weeks, right?
Hank?
Not Hank, Clint. You know what I meant.
I was about to say, I'm like, what did Hank do wrong? Hank. Gee, I know you hate dogs, Johnny, but what did Hank do that everybody was giving him shit? Jesus.
He farted in Clint's face. You know what I meant, Clint.
See? This is your hatred coming out.
Hey, it's even, like, even Dina says that Hank and Clint are bros at this point. So if you're bros, you got to take some of the, you know, the fire. So I'm sorry, Hank. I apologize.
Yeah, no, Hank is fine. But I like your hatred, Yanni. In the words of the dark side, yes, use your hate. Use it.
Even Robin was could be like, Hank, wait a minute. What did Hank do?
Yeah.
My bad.
I really don't think Clint did anything wrong. I mean, if anything that I can say that whole conversation at the honeymoon, mm-hmm. a lot of people felt that he was wrong in how he came across and how he said that. He never told her that she was overweight and all that. But I can't think of what else that he's done that was just that atrocious to make people have this hatred towards Clint. I think Clint is actively trying in this process and trying to get to know Gina, but you're getting nothing from her. So what's the point?
Yo, y'all off the chain. Kitty says, I like Clint. I'd take him off her hands if he was into older black women. I'll even fart in his face if he likes.
Damn, Kitty.
Hey, let's try this kinky shit.
Oh, goodness. Wow.
Y'all off the chain. And see if we care. So, again, we've seen some people come over to Team Clint, because initially people were against Clint. So we've seen some people come over to Team Clint.
At the honeymoon, they were. But now you start to see it's not Clint. It's Gina.
Right. Damn, Gina. Hey, did you notice he gave that Martin reference?
He did. He did. Clint has personality. I could hang with Clint. Mm-hmm. I could totally hang with Clint. Gina, not so much, because I don't want to hear about your business and your salon and your parents' divorce. That's like all she talks about.
Yeah. You know, let's see. JD says Yanni done morphed them as a couple now. Well, I mean, you know, ginger stick together. And here's what's so funny about that too. Even Nika and Moore said all gingers are the same, Yanni. About Hank and Clint. Look, I'm sorry. Now, I did see on here that someone said, and let me see if I can find it. Ah, yes. Nubian Mahogany says, Dr. Pepper did not help any of these couples tonight, right? And I can honestly say that for a lot of them, but it seems like our next couple, our final couple, Shaquille and Kirsten, it's almost like they made some progress after their sit down with Dr. Pepper. So let's go back to the sit down with Dr. Pepper. Let's start there. And did you like how when they first sat down, she kind of eased her pinky onto his thigh, onto his kneecap, I should say. He felt that, so he put his hand over on hers, and, you know, they're sitting there touching, showing some little PDA in front of Dr. Pepper.
I didn't watch in that much detail, so I missed the whole pinky touching. So, my fault. I'll do better next time. But I did like the advice that Dr. Pepper gave, because she said, you know, make no assumptions. Mm-hmm. Do unto others as they would have done to themselves. And what does your partner need? I thought that was really good, because you think about relationships, a lot of us go into what we want, and this is what I want. But how much do you focus on, this is what my partner wants, and it might not be my norm, but I got to get out of my comfort zone and do it. So for Kirsten, so I can say it correctly before I get checked. Kirsten. Did I say it right? Kirsten.
Yeah, you did.
So finally. For Kirsten, even though PDA and kissing might not be her thing, it's what Shaq needs. Mm-hmm. And so for her to think about that and say, okay, what can I do for my partner? And I think she will see that the more that she does for him, the more he would reciprocate trying to actively spend time with her the way that she wants somebody to spend time with her.
I will say, I did like how Dr. Pepper called him out about the forehead kisses, because he's talking about, and she said, I need my kisses, because if I'd leave and I didn't give her a kiss on the forehead, and I'm like, really? We're still stuck on the forehead kisses? right? Is that what it is? And Dr. Pepper's like, yeah, that's not enough. We need more than that. We need marital kisses. You know what I mean?
I would never brag or say anybody, so how's the relationship going? She lets me kiss her forehead. It's getting serious.
Look, and that's exactly right. So you know, your frat, Charles over here, is like, my boy Shaq got it in. Ice to ice, baby. Too cold. I think he was too far in his twos there, unless y'all change your slogan. And then he's coming at me, Yanni Rude, Kappa Man, and Alpha Hater. I'm not an Alpha Hater, but if Shaq is your representation, you're not looking good. Bragging about forehead kisses, all right? Let's just get that.
I'm a good representation, so what are you saying? I think you are a bit of a hater.
Sticks and stones. You know my reasoning.
thanks, Six, for calling that out on this man. Yes, he's an Alpha Hater. That's totally fine.
Definitely,
you can do that. Hey, don't hate us because you can't be us. But anyway, back to Shaq and Kirsten. Great advice. You know, hopefully that helped. But what did you think of Kirsten's response about the vulnerability and why she struggles being open with people?
As shallow as it's always been. I mean, she's never. The thing with her is, like, I think I don't see, and maybe to your point, it's the producer's not showing the parts that way. But at least he's admitted what Shaq did, though. He did admit, like, hey, I've been busy at work sometimes, so maybe I've been a little checked out. I think really and truly, though, what it was that he just kind of checked out because she wasn't as involved in the beginning, right? And it's, I think what we're seeing here is the reverse of Eris and Jasmine, right? This is what I saw. And this is where I didn't agree with Dr. Pepper's advice, because Dr. Pepper almost put it on him as, well, you can't hold it against her because she didn't do this in the beginning. I'm like, it's not about holding it against her. It's if she's not checked into this thing from the beginning and not trying, even if you're not attracted to the man, but you're not fully trying, and you're making up lies like, I just don't like kissing, then why the hell does he need to give 150%? No.
Well, I agree. I think things need to be reciprocated, and I think Shaq was trying in the beginning. Mm-hmm. She was really standoffish. So, of course, it would make him be standoffish.
You know,
because if you think about it, I mean, well, you're on TV, but I mean, just think about it. As a man, I'm not going to keep trying to pursue and touch you because that's considered creepy, exactly. Rapey, and all those things. And I don't want to have any of that on my conscience. So I'm like, fine, I'm just going to stop. But then she's going to get mad because you don't do it. So
why would you run into a wall if you know it's not going to move? How many times are you going to keep running into that wall? And look, the alpha hater, as you and Charles like to call, is defending this alpha man of Shaq, this alpha beta man.
I'm just like, you know, Shaq, look, you got a few more weeks. Go in the bathroom, look at some internet porn on your phone, come on out, go to sleep, and just get through the process, make your 50,000, and move on.
Well, thankfully, he didn't listen to you. Instead, he listened to Dr. Pepper, and he went ahead and did this body paint party, which High Vibe was not feeling at all. And maybe, you know, you and High Vibe usually are on the same vibe. But she says, Shaq has no swag. I've never seen a body painting so unsexy. No music, wine, candlelight, hell, not even burning incense.
Okay.
What did you think of the body paint party?
Okay, well, High Vibe, this is the second time out of our long relationship that I've disagreed with you. I probably won't be a third, but this is the second. And here's why I say this. What he did was spontaneous. She walks in, hey, we're doing this. If you have to say, hey, we're going to do this, and then, oh, let me put the music on and let me put the candle, it takes a little something out of it. And then what if it's not the right song? What if a song comes on, oh, this is Usher, yeah, I can't really feel sexy to that. You got to change it. It's just too much. But just go in the moment and go with the flow. And that's what he did. And
that's what playlists are for.
I think he liked it because he is very creative and particular. So it wasn't her painting him. It was him painting her in the way that he wants to. Now, if that got her all, you know, moist to ready to do some whipped cream and strawberries, great.
Now, to Celery OH's point here, she says, you've got a point, High Vibe, no music, but I wonder if Married at First Sight doesn't want to pay for the rights to use music. And that's exactly what it is, because you have to pay for the rights to use music and on TV shows, right? And that the fees are not small. That's why whenever you show them at the bachelor and bachelorette parties, you hear the most generic music ever, because those are production music beds, right? This is a peek behind the curtain right here. There's a reason why even at the weddings and the receptions, you never hear the music that they're actually dancing to, because it looks like everybody's dancing off beat. It's not because of anything to do with race. It's simply because that's not what they're dancing to.
Well, good point. I'm glad you brought that up. But I'm out of curiosity, ladies, and hit me up in the chat here. I'm 48. Do y'all still use music? I haven't put on a playlist since college.
Grumpy old man. Don't even got time to make a playlist. See?
I make my own music, sir. That's what I do. But I don't do that. So I wouldn't think to be like, hey, babe, tonight, we going to, hold on 1 second. Go on my phone. Let me, I just don't do it. So like, people still using playlists and music to have sex now?
Apparently. JD says that Kirsten, Q finger touching PDA was like a 1970s low budget porno intro.
Goodness.
And Dallas Boss says yes. Playlists all the time. Let's see. Spotify, by the song I know what's up. You know?
By the song you know what's up.
So look, there's, you know, High Vibe says yes, playlists absolutely. So there's the three that you don't agree on. See? Kitty says sometimes, Marvin Gaye always works. See? So people still use a playlist. And look, E-Love-173 says I'm 50 and absolutely yes. Corrine says music is okay, but a list is negative. Alexa or Google will play something for you. Hey, Alexa, play something to put us in the mood. Dina says not for sex, but he could have had music on while painting. You know, some music to paint too. You know, Alicia says yes. Set the mood. Look, the women are here. They're answering.
Okay, I stand corrected. I'm wrong.
Wait. A couple things. Precious Me says, do all these yes people have small kids? That's a great question. That's a great, because once you put that child down, you don't want to wake that child. Hey, look, come on, let's go. We got 10 minutes till she wake back up. Come on.
Or you just teach your kid, when you hear D'Angelo, leave mom and daddy alone. You wait till the song go off.
Well, look, he didn't have the music. And it's not like he needed it, because he brought the whipped cream out, brought the strawberries out, and then they had a mouth-to-mouth meal. Finally got his kiss.
He did. I mean, I thought it was very spontaneous, intimate, romantic. They got a chance to get that touch in there and all that stuff. So I thought it was great. Good for them. And if that's what worked to break down those walls so he can break down those walls, if you know what I'm saying. But if that's what works, great. You know, go ahead and do that.
Like Reed Kicker said, Kirsten's mean ass liked it, so that's all that mattered. He finally got an acts of service style. So yeah, he you know, she seemed into it, you know. I mean, she didn't even come out. I expected her to come out in a jogging suit, you know what I mean? Let me get into something more comfortable. Come out some sweats, you know. No, she came out dressed for the occasion to get painted, you know. It's like, okay, she finally, you know, so maybe he's finally making some moves. Congratulations, Shaquille. He got his kiss. Then, you know, he got his pecs at the end too. Well, you know, so he got a little more. That's good. Way to go. Way to go.
Look at Lucy B. You all turned my Alexa on just now.
I just want to know what it played. What's what song did it play, though?
Let's try it. Alexa, play sex music. Okay, Lucy, tell us what comes up. Damn, High Vibe?
What?
Jesus. Now it's his technique and everything. You just don't like Shaq. Just say you can't. That man can't do anything right in your eyes. Goodness.
But he really was. He looked like he was painting for war. I've seen this movie before.
Oh, you want four player? Huh? All right.
Is that enough? Now, here, have some straw, have some whipped cream and a strawberry. Here you go.
We're not going to turn on everybody's little lights.
Yeah, Nubian said stop. And Kitty says Alexa just started playing Thunderstorms and Rays.
Oh, shoot. This is hilarious.
Sophia says, my Alexa came on in the other room.
Oh, shoot. This is hilarious.
Yeah, you see, that's exactly why you got to stop yelling at people's house. Oh, my goodness. Look, the preview for the rest is still to come this season. Still looks interesting. You know, we find out that, of course, Shaq does get it in. Even though she said, you know, he wasn't going to get it in that night, or possibly not that night. But we also find out that, man, I got to go back just to even get their names anymore now. Yes, McKinley, he pops back up. Because we already knew Dominique was popping back up because her and Clint. Apparently, we're going to get a couple switch here, potentially, as McKinley seems to have snuck into Gina's DMs.
Why? Why?
It's going to be interesting for the rest of it, man.
He missed his 15 minutes. He was like, I need to get back in.
Yep. It's back to some of these other comments that came up earlier today. Nubian Princess had this one that said, Kirsten did not look like she had a kissing problem tonight. Right?
True.
And E-Love wanted to know, she says here, but seriously, is at Just Terrell not wearing pants? I want to see. We don't want to see that. It's okay. No, we don't. Now, this one was funny, though. Earlier from Dallas Boss, this is Eris's personality is plain rice, mustard crust, hot dog juice, banana peel in a lining.
Damn. Dallas Boss's comments about Eris every week are hilarious.
Yes.
I mean, she spent, I wonder, does she do material? Like, she, like, all throughout the week, just, what am I going to say about this mofo tonight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? I will say this, though. I'm going to give, and this will be the last comment I go to here from Charles, saying, I'm not going to be too hard on Kirsten. She has emotional problems. She went submissive once Shaq took charge. Great observation. I will say that.
But I don't know if that's emotional problems. Maybe she just likes to play the submissive role in the bedroom.
I'm sorry. I said that was the last one, but this has got to be the last one. E-Love 173 said, laughing my fucking ass off. I pressed my face to the phone.
Oh, what part? What are you talking about?
Trying to look and see if you were going to stand up.
She's like, angling.
You know what? Nika and Moore did say this, though, from the previews of what's still to come. Did y'all see how Kirsten and Shaq confirmed they got it in, but Shaq was sitting on the car with Jasmine?
I did.
I think that's just a tease to make us feel something. Shaq is not going to leave Kirsten for Jasmine. I know we said that before, but there's certain things that Shaq, maybe now, as maybe by reunion and after, but there's certain things Shaq had a requirement for before this whole season started that Jasmine did not fit. You guys know because you've always been talking about it in the live chats. And that was pointed out. And I think that's one thing we can say that for sure. Shaq wouldn't have been into Jasmine because of that. So,
very true. And just my last thing. So Christie's Alexa played the whole world. Maybe that's her make love song. Alexa, play some sex music.
Look, let's get out
whole
of
world comes on. I'm like, that's different. I would have preferred Elevators or maybe AT Aliens, but whatever.
That's probably Eris's song. That's what it is. The orgy song, the whole world. That was all right. Let's get out of here, man. Don't forget, you have an assignment because Friday, while we're doing Ready to Love, and we'll be on, of course, 15 minutes after the show goes off, we'll be back here on live. We'll do that. But Friday is also when Love is Blind, the first 5 episodes drop on Netflix, season 4. And what we're going to do for episode 127 is we're going to dedicate that whole episode to those first 5 episodes of Love is Blind. So we'll do the Love is Blind recap on Monday. So that's going to drop Monday. And of course, next Wednesday, right back here for the Married at First Sight recap. And yes, Sophia, Terrell will no longer call Alexa next week. Okay?
Alexa, play LL Cool J.
Okay, first thing we got to tell you is don't lean into the mic like that. Oh, my God, my ear.
Sorry.
See, this is the problem. This is why we're going to just change out his dark liquor and make it make it Coke instead. have a Coca-Cola, Terrell. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRTPod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.